Mountain State Mysteries contains mature themes and discussions that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. All individuals mentioned in this episode are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Hey, y'all. I'm your host, Mark Covey, and this is Mountain State Mysteries. There are some cases that stay with you long after you finish researching them. Not because they're the most violent, not because they're the most well-known, but because they remind you how quickly an ordinary day can become a family's worst nightmare. The case I have for you today takes us back to the quiet community of Flat Top, West Virginia, where neighbors knew each other by name, doors were rarely locked, and children spent their afternoon playing outside without a second thought. It was the kind of place where nothing ever seemed to happen until one warm afternoon in May of 1974. 36-year-old Evelyn Shrewsbury was simply spending the day at home. Her husband was at work, her children were at school, and with the weather finally beginning to feel like summer, she decided it was the perfect day to mow her yard. Just a few hours later, her 8-year-old daughter would come home from school and make a discovery that would change her family forever. More than 50 years have passed since that afternoon. Investigators believe they know who's responsible. Witnesses remember seeing a mysterious blue Chevrolet parked outside Evelyn's home. A hitchhiker may have unknowingly became one of the most important people in the investigation. Yet, despite all those pieces, no one has ever been held accountable for Evelyn's murder. This is the case of Evelyn Shrewsbury. Evelyn Hope Thomas was born on July 19, 1947, to William Henry Thomas and Ideal Spindle Deal Thomas. She grew up alongside four siblings, Joyce, Janet, Billy, who also went by William, and Dale. By all accounts, they were a really close family, who remained connected throughout the years. Evelyn married Gilmer Randall Shrewsbury, and together they built a life in Flat Top, West Virginia. Now, if you've never been to Flat Top, it's one of those communities where everyone knows everyone. Your neighbors aren't just people living next door. They're your friends, your family, and people you see every single day. If a strange vehicle drove through town, people noticed it. If someone new showed up, someone usually knew who they were before the day was over. That's the kind of community Evelyn called home. She and Randall were raising their two young children there. Tina was 8 years old. David was just 5. And by all accounts, they were a happy family. Everyone who knew Evelyn described her almost the same way. She was kind. She was generous. She genuinely enjoyed helping people. She loved spending time outdoors, especially taking care of the horses on the family's property. Wednesday afternoons often meant browsing flea markets, something she thoroughly enjoyed. Friends remember her as outgoing, easy to talk to, and someone who always had a smile on their face. There wasn't anything extraordinary about May 16th, 1974. In fact, that's what makes this case so heartbreaking. It started as one of the most ordinary days imaginable.
Hey everyone, I'm Alex, and I'm from APAW Unsolved in West Virginia. I'm a missing persons advocate with a background in criminal justice and psychology, and this channel was created to bring attention to the missing and murdered cases that deserve to be remembered. Here we talk about real people, real families, real stories that still need answers. I spend time researching these cases, speaking with families, and sharing the stories of victims from West Virginia and surrounding areas in hopes of bringing more awareness to cases that are often forgotten. Some of these families have spent years searching for answers. Some are still waiting for someone to come forward, And sometimes all it takes is one person hearing a story to make a difference. If you care about true crime, advocacy, and helping keep these cases in the public eye, make sure to subscribe to APAL Unsolved in West Virginia on YouTube and follow me on Facebook. Together, we can help make sure these stories are never forgotten.
The morning of Thursday, May 16, 1974, started like so many others in the Shrewsbury household. Randall had already left for work in Beaver. Tina and David had gone off to school. Evelyn spent the morning doing chores around the house, just as she normally would. It was one of those warm spring days that almost tricked you into believing summer had already arrived. The sun was out, temperatures had climbed, and it seemed like the perfect afternoon to get some work done outside. Sometime around noon, Evelyn decided to mow the yard. She changed into a blue two-piece bathing suit, rolled the lawnmower out into the yard, and started to cut grass. Nothing about it seemed unusual. Around 2 o'clock that afternoon, several neighbors noticed her mowing the front yard. Seeing Evelyn outside wasn't uncommon. She enjoyed being outdoors. And on a beautiful day like this, nobody thought twice about it. But over the next hour, several people would arrive at the Shrewsbury property, and every one of those encounters would become important. The first visitor was someone investigators were able to identify almost immediately. A family friend from Coolridge pulled into the driveway in a yellow truck. According to his statement, he had stopped by because he needed a piece of sheet metal to mount a radio antenna. Evelyn agreed to help him look, and the two walked to a tool shed on the south side of the property. They searched for several minutes, but they were never able to find what he was looking for. Before leaving, the friend happened to glance at his watch. The time was 2:10 p.m. That small detail would later become one of the most important timestamps in this entire investigation. But here's the part that's always stood out to me. It wasn't the fact that the friend stopped by while Randall was at work. It was the fact that he wasn't alone. On his way to Evelyn's house, he had picked up a hitchhiker outside the lakefront grocery store. When they arrived, the hitchhiker got out near Evelyn's home while the friend searched for the sheet metal. According to the friend, after he left the property, he saw the hitchhiker walking towards Princeton. Who was he? Why was he there? Did he simply continue walking down the road? Or did he turn around after the truck disappeared? Those are questions investigators have never publicly answered. In fact, the identity of the hitchhiker has never been released, and it's unknown if law enforcement was ever able to locate him or interview him. As far as the public knows, he remains one of the biggest mysteries in this entire case. After the friend drove away, neighbors once again saw Evelyn mowing the grass. Everything appeared completely normal. Then around 3 o'clock that afternoon, witnesses noticed something that would eventually become one of the most discussed pieces of evidence in this entire investigation. A blue Chevrolet was parked near Evelyn's property. Now, in a larger city, that probably wouldn't have meant much. But Flat Top wasn't a large community. It was a close-knit community where unfamiliar vehicles stood out. People noticed things, and that's exactly why the witness remembered what he saw. The vehicle was described as a blue 1959 or 1960 Chevrolet with distinctive tail fins on the rear. As the witness drove past, he noticed a dark-haired man standing close to Evelyn. Very close. From his vantage point, it appeared the two were talking while standing beside one of the horses. Nothing about this interaction looked alarming. The witness simply assumed that they were discussing the horses and continued on his way to work. Looking back, it's chilling to think that those few seconds may have captured the last time anyone ever saw Evelyn Shrewsbury alive. At around 3:30 that afternoon, 8-year-old Tina Shrewsbury stepped off the school bus and walked towards her house. To her, it had probably just been another day at school. She expected to come home and find her mom outside, just like she had many times before. As she got closer to the yard, she noticed a lawnmower still sitting there. It hadn't been put away. There was even a patch of grass that hadn't been cut. Maybe her mom had gone inside to get a drink. Maybe she stepped into the barn. Maybe she was feeding the horses. Tina began looking around the property and calling for her mother. When she didn't get an answer, she walked towards the tool shed where Evelyn and the family friend had searched for the sheet metal earlier that afternoon. And that's when everything changed.
I'm Shane.
I'm Hannah.
And we're Country Roads Creeps. We're a podcast that covers all manner of creepy, spooky stories, from cryptids and conspiracies to unexplained deaths and disappearances to mysterious and paranormal happenings in the world.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Check out our Facebook page and our Instagram account at Country Roads Creeps for photo dumps and more information we'll post with every episode.
If you enjoy the show, please feel free to share us with your friends and leave us a 5-star review. And if there's any topics that you'd like to hear us cover in the future, feel free to message us on our social media accounts. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, be safe driving home and watch out for the not deer.
Bye.
Bye.
Lying on the floor of the shed was Evelyn. At first, Tina tried to get her mother's attention. She called out for her, she tried to wake her up, but Evelyn never responded. It's difficult to imagine what must have been going through the mind of an 8-year-old little girl in that moment. Realizing something was terribly wrong, Tina ran back towards the house to call for help. But there was another obstacle. The Shrewsberries shared a party line with neighboring homes. And when Tina picked up the phone, someone else was already using it. She couldn't make a call. So instead, she grabbed the phone book and ran as fast as she could to her neighbor's house. That neighbor was Gloria Stafford, a teacher's aide at Tina's school. Completely out of breath and terrified, Tina told Gloria that she thought her mother was dead. Gloria immediately knew that Tina wouldn't make something like this up. She quickly found Jean Harvey, a local mechanic who owned Harvey's garage nearby. Earlier that afternoon, Gene had actually saw Evelyn mowing the grass. At first, he thought maybe she collapsed because of the heat. So he agreed to walk back to the Shrewsbury home with Tina. As they approached the tool shed, Gene expected to find someone who needed medical attention. Instead, he found a crime scene. He immediately turned around and ran back towards the house and called for emergency assistance. Within a short time, first responders and members of the West Virginia State Police began to arrive at the Shrewsbury property. What they found confirmed everyone's worst fears. Evelyn Shrewsbury was dead. She was lying on her back inside of the tool shed. Her bikini top had been removed, wrapped tightly around her neck, and tied into an extremely tight knot. The bottoms of the bathing suit had been pulled down between her knees. Investigators also found a removed Tampax tampon lying nearby. Despite the disturbing scene, investigators would later determine there was no evidence that Evelyn had been sexually assaulted. That finding surprised many of the people who were at the scene that afternoon because based on the condition of the crime scene, it appeared that sexual assault had likely been the attacker's original motive. At approximately 2:25 p.m., members of the West Virginia State Police, including Trooper H.H. Meadows, along with Mercer County Prosecuting Attorney David Knight, arrived to begin processing the scene. Despite every effort by medical personnel, there was nothing they could do. Evelyn was pronounced dead at the scene. Her body was transported to the Princeton Community Hospital, where an autopsy would provide investigators with even more disturbing details about what happened inside that small tool shed. For years, the murder of Evelyn Shrewsbury remained exactly where investigators never wanted it to be, unsolved. Despite witnesses' statements, physical evidence, and countless interviews, no one could positively identify the man seen standing outside the tool shed that afternoon. The investigation never stopped. But as the years passed, leads became fewer. And like so many cold cases, it seemed possible that Evelyn's killer might never be identified. Then, sometime in the early 2000s, investigators received information that changed the direction of this case. According to reports, the West Virginia State Police received a phone call naming a man from Hinton as the person they should be looking for. His name was Anthony Tony Vines. Almost immediately, investigators began comparing what they knew about Tony to what witnesses had reported nearly 3 decades earlier. The similarities were difficult to ignore. Tony owned a blue 1960 Chevrolet. remarkably similar to the vehicle witnesses described outside Evelyn's home on the afternoon of the murder. He was also a convicted sex offender with a troubling criminal history. According to investigators, Tony had been dishonorably discharged from the United States Army after multiple incidents involving indecent exposure. Years later, he was convicted after approaching a woman at her home and attempting to sexually assault her. According to court reports, the assault was interrupted before it was ever completed, allowing the victim to identify him. That detail immediately caught investigators' attention. Could the same thing have happened to Evelyn? Could Tony have intended to sexually assault her, only for something to interrupt him again? Or had Evelyn fought back so fiercely that his plan fell apart? Those questions have never been answered. Investigators also began looking closely at Tony's whereabouts on May 16, 1974. According to the information they gathered, Tony had traveled back from Parisburg, Virginia to visit his brother earlier that day. He reportedly left around 1 o'clock that afternoon. Normally, the drive back to Hinton should have taken roughly an hour and a half. Instead, investigators learned he didn't arrive home until approximately 4:30 p.m. That left a window of time investigators could never fully explain. They uncovered something else. The very next day, Tony traveled to Ohio to visit his father. Before making the trip, he cut off his shoulder-length brown hair. He also repainted portions of his blue Chevrolet, including the hood, doors, and trunk. To investigators, those actions immediately raised questions. Were they simply a coincidence? Or was Tony trying to change his appearance and the appearance of his vehicle after Evelyn's murder? Police eventually brought Tony in for questioning. He denied having anything to do with Evelyn's death. He also agreed to allow investigators to search his vehicle. During that search, authorities recovered several strands of hair believed to have come from horses, along with dirt samples inside the car. When investigators asked Tony about the horse hairs, he claimed they came from riding a pony at his uncle's property. But then, his explanation changed. He also told investigators that the pony hadn't been ridden in at least a year. That contradiction immediately caught their attention. The horse hairs and dirt were sent away for comparison with evidence collected from the Shrewsbury property. Unfortunately, neither examination produced a conclusive result. Investigators also attempted to have witnesses identify Tony as the man they had seen outside Evelyn's home, but as decades passed, the witnesses had only seen the man briefly from a distance. None of them could make a positive identification. Months later, investigators attempted to interview Tony again. This time, he refused to answer any additional questions without a warrant. Without enough evidence to establish probable cause, investigators had no legal basis to obtain one. Tony walked away, and despite all of the suspicion surrounding him, no criminal charges were ever filed in connection with Evelyn Shrewsbury's murder. Anthony Tony Vines eventually died in prison on unrelated charges. If he was responsible for Evelyn's murder, he took the truth with him. And because he was never charged or convicted in this case, it's important to remember that under law, he remained innocent of Evelyn's murder.
Hey y'all, I'm Elisa.
And I'm Samantha.
And welcome to Watch for Deer podcast. We're a couple of best friends from Southern West Virginia, and around here, Watch for Deer is our way of saying we love you and be safe.
This is a conversational podcast that covers many topics from A to Z, including, but not limited to, true crime and the paranormal. Our goal is to bring you an episode a week, so come listen as we tell stories that will make you laugh and maybe even blow your mind. Y'all be safe,
and watch for deer.
More than 50 years have passed since Evelyn Shrewsbury was murdered inside that small tool shed on her family's property. In all of that time, countless investigators have worked this case. Witnesses were interviewed. evidence was collected, suspects were examined. And yet, despite everything that has been uncovered over the years, no one has ever been held legally responsible for taking Evelyn's life. Many investigators and people close to this case believe they know who committed this crime, but believing you know and proving it in a court of law are two very different things. Without enough evidence to charge Evelyn's murder remains officially unsolved. Adding to the frustration, it's another heartbreaking reality. Much of the physical evidence collected during the original investigation was reported missing by 2001. Whether advances in DNA technology could have solved this case may never be known because so much of that evidence is no longer available. But I think it's important that we don't let the investigation overshadow the person at the center of this story. Evelyn just wasn't another name in an unsolved case file. She was a wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, and a friend. She was a woman who simply wanted to enjoy a warm spring afternoon at home with her family. Instead, her life was stolen in an act of violence that forever changed the people who loved her the most. I also can't help but think about Tina. She was only 8 years old when she got off the bus expecting to see her mother. Instead, she experienced something that no child should ever have to endure. That single afternoon changed the course of her life forever. If someone out there still knows something about what happened on May 16th, 1974, even something that may seem insignificant today, it could still matter. Someone may remember that blue Chevrolet. Someone may remember seeing a stranger in flat top that afternoon. Someone may know something that they never shared. If you have any information regarding the murder of Evelyn Shrewsbury, you're encouraged to contact Crime Stoppers of West Virginia at 304-255-7867. After more than 5 decades, Evelyn's family still deserves answers. Because until those answers come, this story isn't over. We'll be back next week with a new episode. If you find yourself enjoying Mountain State Mysteries, take a second to follow, download, and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. It helps others find a good West Virginia true crime podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Mountain State Mysteries. Do you have a case you want us to cover? Send us an email at mountainstatemysteries304@gmail.com.